Holy moly, I've got a very important message from Zane Shaw. He's got a podcast. You're listening to Save Your Bacon with Zane Shaw and Will Palumbo. Don't lose your bacon. Get Zane and Will shaken.
All right, finally done. That's the last wreath. We have so many wreaths. Those kids were insistent. Stop laughing. I just literally unboxed 58 wreaths.
No, I'm laughing because it's been a big year for our big wreath eve. Let me clarify for other people that don't understand. So there is Christmas, right? And then there is Christmas Eve, and then there is the eve of
wreath.
Eve. And then there is wreath, and then there's wreath's eve. And
that's where we're at. That's right.
We, and I think people need to understand this. When you have a wreath up at all, and you look at that reef, that Great Barrier Reef, we are the only sellers in the United States of wreath. And
yeah,
I don't want to
sound
cocky.
We're the only ones who celebrate it. We're trying so hard to make it a thing. I bought 58 wreaths because I thought that my 57 acquaintances would really like their wreath.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like such a good idea in theory.
It really
like
did, in wreath, in theory.
When the grade schoolers came by and they were like, we'll get an Xbox. We sell 4,200 of these. And I was like, I'll at least get you like 1% of the way there. I have tons of acquaintances.
Right. I mean, you think about how effective Girl Scout cookies have been. Oh, sorry, by the way, I'm Zane Shaw.
And I'm Will Palumbo, and this is Save Your Bacon and Rice Comedy Podcast, where we think we're helping.
Yeah, we think we're helping. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Just get in here. Close the door. It's cold outside.
You think about, but baby, it's bad out there. You think about how good and effective Girl Scout cookies have been, and then the Girl Scouts are like, oh, cool, I have sold enough Girl Scout cookies, I can now buy a puppy dog. We were thinking the same way with what do people need in the holidays? What does every household...
Oh, make the noise. It didn't make the
but
noise.
Yet you made enough
it
noise normally, to cut the bit off.
I opened the growler, and when you open the growler, it makes like this like tss, like nice hissing sound. There's a floaty in there.
That's so big.
Half a gallon. I have two of these.
For clarification, anybody that's the same way as me that doesn't know what a growler looks like, it looks like imagine a root beer bottle, but somehow a gallon form of a root beer bottle. It is giant.
The holiday spirit has arrived from Big River Kombucha, and it comes in the form of Mexican hot chocolate, Zane.
Oh, I like that.
That's right. It is cinnamon, spice, what's this thing? Cayenne pepper. And everything nice. No, it's cinnamon, cocoa, and cayenne pepper kombucha.
Interesting.
And it is. I'll give you a sip.
Cinnamon. You say pepper, cayenne pepper, cinnamon, and pepper together don't sound like they're supposed to happen together.
You would think that a cocoa kombucha would break every natural law,
right? Because that's pure sweetness straight up against hardcore vinegar.
It is not a pure sweetness because I think it is a more natural cocoa in the way that if you were to have an actual Mexican hot chocolate, it would never taste like a milk chocolate. It would be a very dark chocolate with it. So it's more spicy than it is sweet. And the cinnamon, the cayenne, and the cocoa are balanced so well. I opened this half gallon a week ago, and it still tastes amazing, which is hard to do with kombucha. It was one of the downfalls of getting an entire half gallon, is that by the time it's like a week after you've opened it, it's like basically almost having flat pop, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, but no, I know exactly what you're talking about because I too drink kombucha as often as the regular individual. Actually, sorry, I think what I said is true, but what needs to be clarified is that the regular individual doesn't drink kombucha. So,
man.
Just to get that out of the way. Is that Big River Kombucha, that thing that we don't sponsor?
Yeah, the thing that we don't sponsor that we talk about every single week.
Will, you have a prime obsession with Big River Kombucha.
Yep, because I still haven't found a kombucha that even comes close. There was that mint sage rosemary one that I had. I think that was one or two episodes ago. And, you know, by the end of that can, I didn't like it.
Will, I'm going to ask you something for real. Pharrell.
Yeah.
What do you think are the odds for Big River Kombucha? If I send them an episode of our podcast, what do you think are the odds that they get back to us and 100%. We can sponsor them?
100%. I've talked to them.
You know.
I've told them, hey, yeah. Did I not tell you?
No, what?
Did I not tell? Okay, yeah. So like a month ago, I went up to them as I was buying my kombucha because it's just a husband and wife that does the whole production, right?
Oh, wow.
But they like... They distribute out to a bunch of different like grocery stores and different restaurants and things like that. And anyways, so like if you don't show up, is the moment they open like once every 2 weeks that they actually like, open up like their like window to sell. If you're not there immediately, they won't have any left within like an hour most of the time.
Wow, okay,
that's how popular they are.
Dang.
So I went up to them. I'm like, hey, this is super weird, but. Do you guys mind if I talk about you on my podcast? And they were like, what's your podcast about? And I'm like, it's comedy advice. It's like it's attempted comedy and not advice. But what do you think? And they were like, yeah, that's fine. I don't see why not. I mean, we appreciate the advertising. I'm like, okay, good. Because I've done it about a dozen times so far.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad you didn't say no, because that'd make my life really hard, actually.
I don't know what... You'd have to come to me and be like, Zane, we have to take, like, 10 episodes down right now.
We have so much we have to change. No, but he asked me if I knew, or if I could give him the name of it so that he could look it up and listen to it, because he wanted to listen to... our unpaid sponsorship. So, Zane, if you reached out to Big River Kombucha, they would probably respond and say, hey, you're Will's friend.
Oh, my God. And then I might. Then I genuinely might. Just see what happens.
Because
I like to go with the flow.
It's so good.
Also, like, this is a minor thing for just anybody that's trying to get to know us as people. I've mentioned to Will, and I want to mention this here before I mention anything else. Will, I mentioned that whole like badge theme that I'm going to do with my YouTube channel going into next year, right? So for next year, to get myself more on track with what I'm going to do YouTube wise, I'm going to try and give each month a kind of a theme, so that I have kind of an objective towards anything that I'm making, or at least kind of a through line. And January, I think I'm going simple to start it out, and I'm just going to go with try new things, because that's quite literally the idea of what a New Year's resolution is. It fits January.
Try new things, huh?
Try new things. And so
we're starting with kombucha.
And so I'll reach out to them and see if they can offer up. I mean, Will, do you have any recommendations of the best Big River kombucha flavors you've had so far?
See, that's problematic because I love all of their flavors, but I think that their seasonal ones, like the ones that they like make like unique, burping kombucha, every couple weeks, are the best ones.
Okay.
Like the plum cinnamon one that I got for Halloween was divine. That is still my favorite one. I think any of them with cinnamon, but let's see. You should go with ginger lime because it is classic.
All right.
It is timeless. It will never go out of style. It'll always be a great seller, and most people enjoy it.
Good to know. And until I get that kombucha, I will just happily sit here and enjoy my Ned Nog instead.
Very good.
It's very good. It's a very good bit. We are very thankful.
Do you have
to
eggnog?
Have...
Did you bring eggnog?
No, I
you
don't
can't, like,
have
not. Insane.
It's because it's Ned Nog is for the noggin. It's not literally in my hand. It's in my mind.
Okay.
For my
soul. Okay, friends at home, Zane failed us, but you can go ahead and grab your eggnog now.
Yes.
You saw in the blurb of the podcast that it did tell you, do not open without eggnog. And so go ahead and just pull that out, pour yourself a shot glass or something, because we know it's very thick and drinking more than that feels like you're just slurping raw eggs. But you're all good? You got it ready? Okay, now we're ready for an eggnog. Go ahead.
Beautiful. We have our beautiful friend, Devin Werkheiser, a.k.a. Ned Bigby from Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide, back with us for this bit, Ned Nog, where he gives you genuine advice in life, because he is a genuinely amazing human being. And I've sent you.
How many did he send?
I have sent enough.
That's crazy. He gave
enough for the rest of the year, bud. And so I've sent you a clip, and you can go ahead and play that whenever you want.
All right, here I go.
Another major piece of advice for your adult life is your major victories in your life, the moments that really start a change in you, they're gonna be private, they're gonna be personal, and they're not gonna be sexy. We all wanna score the touchdown in the fourth quarter and be lifted up on the team's shoulders and kiss the cheerleader and have the school cheer for us, yay! But that is not how you're gonna build the success of your life. You're gonna build it in private moments. You're gonna build it in small changes that are big for you. You're gonna build it by in private, choosing a path that is against your kind of default. Rather than doing that thing that's easy, that makes you feel momentarily good and makes you feel numb to your anxiety, you're gonna choose, oh wait, I chose to work out that day. I chose to eat right that day. I chose to read a book that day. Like, that's what you're gonna build the success of your life. You're gonna build it on these private, personal, not sexy victories that no one's gonna give you credit for. So start looking for them. Stop looking for things that can help you succeed, but you get credit for. Look for the things that only you will know you did and start leaning into those victories.
God dang, wow. Ned Bigby.
Can I say something quick?
Yeah, please.
So Ned's idea is that our greatest victories are not the sexy, outward, often public things that are really great, means that Devin Werkheiser had even greater accomplishments than being Ned Bigby behind closed doors.
I know, right? Like, Ned Bigby...
That's kind of like a really subtle flex.
And it's a good flex, too. Because you think about, like, if you are Ned Bigby and you can very casually on an underground podcast mention, oh, trust me, boys, Ned Bigby doesn't even come close to the best moments of my life.
Yeah, can you imagine meeting him? You're like, oh my gosh, you're Ned Bigby. And you're like, I also discovered that meditation is a great form of self-development. And like, I don't care, it's Ned Bigby. Like, that's the one thing that you're like, that's what seems great to us. But what could he have possibly done that was like more life-changing for his life? I'm wondering.
It's interesting. I mean, like, you think about anything that I've gone through with my teeth that I haven't, and for lack of better terms, vocalized.
Except for everyone who listens to the podcast, because it's been stated about a dozen times on the podcast.
I've put up updates, but I haven't put up, like, every single thing that I've gone through, because I pretty much went to the dentist every 2 weeks for 2 years. So there were a lot of things. But it's a good point of like, if I wake up in the morning and choose to not go back to bed through my alarm, that is a good subtle victory that's going to change my entire day. He's not wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But if I was Ned Bigby, I would say that me being Ned Bigby was definitely like in the top five things that I've done.
Yeah, I would say everything that Devin Werkheiser said, and I'd be like, but also being Ned Bigby was definitely the best thing for me. And that was very public. So take what you want.
Winning a Kids' Choice Award was one of my biggest achievements.
Yeah, that was definitely my biggest achievement, but yours is probably not going to be public. Nobody's going to see it. Mine was the touchdown. Yours will not be.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm Ned Bigby. I approve this mess.
You're just going to be like, I put the grout around my bathtub on really well.
Oh, goodness.
And that's going to shape you. For me, it was the Kids' Choice Awards. For you, it's bathtub grout. That's fine.
Hi. Oh, I have Josh Peck's number in my phone. You have
a nice
bathtub.
It's not a big deal. We call and chat. You probably have a good bathtub.
I hang out with all of the people from Nickelodeon. You watch Nickelodeon while you relax in your newly grouted bathtub.
Yeah, I kissed the girl on Nez Declassified on camera about 40 times because I kept on messing it up. kept on messing it up.
Yeah.
And you have a good good bathtub.
Good grout.
Do you have a question for me?
Yeah, of course I do. This is a question that comes from Ancient Delay. The question is, can my moose really live comfortably in the woods? Huh. Seems like he'd be stuck between trees all the time.
Okay.
I know from experience that that's a rough way to live.
Man, I just love giving advice to people.
Should I just keep him inside?
Please
help. I love
answering advice questions. I love advice. So, wait. Does question asker have a moose they found?
Apparently, this question asker has a moose that they're heavily considering letting out. But they're worried that their moose will just be stuck within the trees.
Okay, call the authorities, dude. I think it is, like, mega illegal to own a moose.
Hey, you know what? Depends where you live.
Super mega illegal.
Depends where you live.
No, I don't think it does. I don't think it does. I've seen TikToks of people, like, bringing buffalo into their house. I've seen it with bears. I have not seen it with moose, and I think that is indicative of no moose allowed. Are you endangered?
I mean, part of me just thinks, and this might be just from, you know, just things that I've seen on shows and whatnot over the years. Part of me thinks that if you live in Canada, there are so many moose that if one happens to just be around your yard all the time, you get to call it your pet. And so you start thinking, like you know when there's, like, the neighborhood cat running through your front yard, and you're like, I'm technically, that's not my cat, but, like,
the neighborhood moose, the 10-foot-tall monster, where the antlers is as long as a car.
That's the neighborhood moose.
Just the neighborhood moose.
He wanders yard to yard.
We all respect that murder beast. We all love our local murder beast.
He's actually the sheriff of our neighborhood.
That's like having a backyard rhinoceros. Like, it's so dangerous. Moose kills so many people.
Not when they're domesticated.
Oh, gosh.
So you start...
There's so many... I mean, like, to legitimately give any advice, you would have to know how old the moose is, and we just don't have enough information, Zane.
So we can't
give any advice. We are gridlocked into no answer, because if we say anything other than contact the wildlife people, it's always the wrong answer.
We know a little bit. Let's look into the context here, because he says, first of all, he's comfortable enough calling it his moose. He says, my moose, would they live comfortably in the woods? And he does follow up by saying, should I just keep him inside? Which makes it sound like I've been keeping him inside, and I'm thinking of letting him out.
Should I continue? Is this okay?
And I'm worried.
Yeah, you probably learned very quickly after trying to keep an indoor moose that was an outdoor moose that it is inconvenient, and that is why you're going to the online forums instead of admitting I've had an outdoor moose as an indoor moose.
I do like that what should be the most jarring statement here is, I'm afraid he'd be stuck between the trees all the time. Mm-hmm. But really, the most jarring sentence here for me is when he says, I know from experience that that's a rough way to live. Does that mean that he has a plan? Here's the idea. Okay. All right.
Okay. We have a situation where question asker decided to see how realistic their moose costume was.
Oh.
They have a very good Halloween costume lined up for 2021, when we can 2021, the year of back to party, where you get your best caboose friend and you put them in the back of the front of your moose costume, right?
Right. The caboose of the moose
costume. The moose boost. And so you get them back there and you go out and you say, the ultimate test of how real my costume is how well it can attract a mate.
Oh,
and so you
no.
dump the moose musk all over the costume. You go out, and you thought you had nothing, when after you were trying to get back into your house, you realized that you had attracted a lonely male and followed you into your house. And now you're stuck with an indoor moose who's in love with your costume. But here's the thing I was also thinking of. If moose have trouble between trees... Moose have a lot of trouble between doors, right? A full-grown moose would never figure out how to walk through a door. Ever in a million years, ever decide to turn sideways to get through the door. Right?
No moose is ever, no moose stuck between trees. It goes up to a front door and says, I think I'm officially up
to this
challenge.
I can figure this one up. Yeah. No. It's like the dog with the stick trying to walk through the door. It doesn't work.
That's got to be a moose and garage situation. 100%. Like, you've got to have big enough garage door or double door for your main door.
What do you feed moose? What does moose eat? I looked it up. It is illegal to own moose.
Did you look?
As well as deer, bears, or wild turkeys.
Now, they didn't say they...
Other forbidden animals include lion, cheetah, wolf, monkeys, camel, alligator, monk, parakeet, and mute swan.
If that swan can't sing,
if
it's
you
not
have
yours.
Permits, you can keep emu, domestic ferrets, sugar gliders, and chinchillas. If... I'm stuck on a moose just ramming into a door over and over again.
Hey, to be fair, he has never said he owns the moose. He has just said that he has taken care of.
When you say it's my moose, that is ownership.
Hey.
It is my moose. I own the moose.
I don't ever think of, like, I own my cats. I think of I take care of my
cats.
But
they're your cats.
They are my cats.
No. You own your cats. Are you saying that because of the personality of cats, of, like, I'm too self-important?
I did buy my cats. But I don't own my cats. I don't decide everything for them. They can sleep wherever they want.
Same.
They can eat whenever they want. I don't own
them. This is wild. You own the cats. You have, like, the deed to cat somewhere.
I have the cat deed somewhere hidden in my house. Try and find it.
If you buy a house,
uh-huh.
Do you own the house?
Yes, but that's because I then decide everything that happens to the house from there on out. I decide what color...
House does lots of bad things to you.
I decide what color the walls are. I decide when renovations happen. I decide...
Do you decide when leak happens?
What?
When roof leak.
Hey, no, that's when I punish house, because house is bad. House is trying to break the rules.
You punish house?
I punish house.
How do you punish house?
I hit it with hammer.
And wood.
Say that's what you get, house.
Yeah, the same way I punish my cats.
No, no. And my moose.
And my moose.
I hit my moose with a hammer. He says, I want to go back outside.
Yeah, I think that it will... Unless your moose is wrong and bad, it'll figure out the tree situation.
Yeah.
I'd watch that. That has to be a funny video somewhere on YouTube about a moose hitting trees, right?
Oh, absolutely. Most definitely. There's everything on YouTube. There's certainly moose stuck in trees.
Oh, that sounds sad.
Hey.
Do you know how tall mooses are?
What?
Do you know how tall mooses are?
Pretty tall, right?
Pretty tall, yeah, yeah. Like... Everybody always like, oh yeah, moose is pretty big. Do you know how big moose is? I'm sure I'm not surprised.
I'm gonna guess like 6 to 7 feet.
From Minnesota, it's over 8 feet tall.
That's bigger than I said, and that's wow.
Yeah, yeah. I think their antlers get up to like 6 to 8 feet wide.
That's nutso banana.
Maybe like 6 feet. Maybe like 4 to 6 feet.
But
like huge.
Yeah, no, that's huge. Pretty. That's pretty Kyle massive.
I didn't like that. I'm moving on. I have a question for you, Zane.
Hey, go for it.
Okay. Zane, would you be interested in taking a narcissist personality inventory instead of this question?
You say that like I haven't already.
You have?
No, that was a joke.
Oh, okay. Because I was listening to some recent podcasts, and the podcasters I was listening to took narcissistic personality inventory.
Okay.
And it basically just rates how much of a narcissist you are.
Go for it.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah, go for it.
Share with our audience our results?
Yeah, go for it.
It takes 5-10 minutes. Okay, we'll be right back. Bye. Wow, what a quick 5 to 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Zane, what do you think?
I'm not going to lie. So I'm seeing numbers and my brain stopped working. And so I don't understand my score yet.
So okay, so for anybody who is, a little confused right now, I listen every once in a while to the H3 podcast, which, although some people really don't like, some people do like, either way, they had an episode where two of the co-hosts, one Ethan Klein, the other one is Trisha Paytas of the Frenemies podcast, where they had a giant explosion of a fight, and in order to learn more about themselves, they took these personality tests, and one of them they took was narcissism, which is the exact test that we just took
yeah.
right now, the same one as they on the podcast did. I thought it was so interesting. I want to know more about myself and more about Zane. And so numbers-wise, there was 40 questions.
Right.
And they were all either there was one that was a narcissistic trait and one that wasn't. It forced you to think one way or another. It's a very respected survey that like tens of thousands of people have done. And so the top you can get is 40. That means you are 100% on the narcissism, and then zero, which is 0% of the narcissism. Mm-hmm. And if you get a zero or a 40, it is both incredibly concerning, because getting a zero means that you have 0% narcissism, and sometimes being a little bit narcissistic can be good. This is not advice or comedy, but I just really want to do this because I thought it'd be
kind
fun.
Kind of advice.
You know what? Yeah, maybe go out and do this. Maybe you can learn something about yourself.
Go be narcissistic.
go be really narcissistic. No, being really narcissistic is bad. And so the national average is a 15, which means on average, people get a score of 15 out of 40.
Okay.
Some people get lower, some people get higher. When you get in like upper 20s or 30s, that is incredibly high. And on the podcast, one of the doctors that administered this survey to the people said that the highest score they had ever seen was a 34. And that was from Robin. What's her last name? Robin Quivers, who is the. Do you know who that is?
Nope.
That was one of the co-hosts of the Howard Stern.
Show. So, I do know who she is. Then okay, wow.
Yep, and so she got a 34 out of 40, which is the highest they'd ever seen. Wow. Trisha Paytas, who is Trisha Paytas. Most people know who she is. She got a 30, and then Ethan got a 7.
Oh wow!
Which I thought he would be higher, but he is an incredibly humble, or not humble, but just like self-loathing, I guess, person, and it shows in that way. He thinks pretty little of himself, considering he is wildly successful. So, the national average is 15. Zane, should we share what we got?
Yeah, by all means. Who first?
You go first.
Very non-narcissistic of you. I'm very proud.
thank you.
I got a 14 out of 40.
You had a 14?
Yeah, which I'm surprised.
You know,
I honestly expected it to be higher, but mm-hmm. I realized on a couple of the things that I thought I would be more confident about, when given the option, my gut instinct feeling went more towards the softer route than the, I don't know how, I'm losing my words for it, but there were some things that I thought I was going to be narcissistic about that as soon as I saw the other option, I actually resonated more with that option more. Okay. And that surprised me.
Okay. So how do you feel about your score?
Good, considering that it's lower than I thought, but confused because it's lower than I thought. So
when you think of yourself, do you think of yourself as a narcissistic person?
It depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. If like I'm thinking like in day to day or like my goals in life type of thing, like there were questions of like, one of the options that I assumed was narcissistic was like when it just said, I'm going to be a successful person. And I was like, yep, I picked that. I picked that one. And I'm just like, I get that that's narcissistic, but that's also just confidence going into that. And I was expecting more like that that would make this score higher. But then there were ones that were where it was like, I'll take and do anything on a dare, or I'm more hesitant on dares. And part of me wanted to say I'll do anything on a dare, and then I realized in all honesty, I truthfully would probably find a way to talk myself out of having to do it. And so I was like, that's like the there is a part of me that wants to be willing to do whatever whenever, but I know that internally my gut instinct would be to back away from doing something that I'm unsure about doing in a situation like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So go ahead and scroll down,
okay,
and you'll see the different facets, because it breaks it down into 7 different categories.
I see that now. Okay.
Do you have any that are outliers? Because if there's no red bar, then you got a zero score for that category,
yep.
And if it's all the way to the top, you got all the questions for that. Do you have any that are
I have one that's a zero.
Which one?
Vanity.
Vanity.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I'm gonna be honest again, because my brain's not working. My head just doesn't recognize what vanity means right now.
So vanity means like your own self-obsession with looks.
Then that makes sense.
So like
why
the questions that I think that were that are like, I like, for me, I answered that I don't like it when I think I look good and I go out and people don't mention it.
I
put yes for that one.
So it's interesting because I should have something for vanity then, right? Because I think the other two
were I like looking at myself in the mirror and no. I think my body is great.
No, yeah, those two I was not on board with, but I'm pretty sure I put yes for if I go out, I'm upset if people don't recognize like how I look.
And maybe that's not a vanity one. I just thought it was. I figured it would be. Maybe that's more like entitlement or something like that. So also I want to go over, there are a couple of different, or three, I should say, different facets of narcissism that are more healthy narcissistic traits. And there are the others that are less healthy. Okay. The ones that are more healthy are self-sufficiency, authority, and superiority. The other four are much more unhealthy. And so it's good to have healthy amounts of those. Mm-hmm. And for example, it does not mean that having a higher score means you are particularly like a bad person. Like the explanation that the doctor gave it on the other podcast was that if you have a fighter jet pilot and he has to land a plane like on this tiny landing strip, you want him to be so narcissistic because you want him to believe himself more than anything that he can do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, totally. And so for me, I think when people are in like show business, when I think that people want to be in front of a camera, then I think like, wow, that would actually make sense if they had more of these narcissistic traits that couldn't even be bad. It just benefits them towards what they're going for. And they're playing into that.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. For those bars, so my highest two bars are superiority and exhibitionism. Mm. And then... Mm. My middlest two bars are authority and self-sufficiency.
Okay.
My lowest two are exploitativeness and entitlement, and then I have nothing in vanity.
Very good. Very good. I was going to say, I should have guessed where you would end up. I would have guessed between like 18 and 23, I think.
That's pretty much where I was thinking I was going to get somewhere like 20.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Anything else to say about yours?
No. That's really okay. As far as I know, that's it.
I just think it's cool. I don't know. I'm really surprised you were like incredibly middle of the road.
Yeah, I think it's
not to say that I think you should be or that I think you're particularly narcissistic.
No, I'm surprised too. That's why I guess it's just the specificity of the question and how literalistic I read into questions of like how do I think I would react in a moment versus right now versus. Because a lot of it might be the setting and stuff like that, changing my mindset of like, there'll be times that I go out and that I'm not bothered if people look at me the way I'm dressed. And there'll be times that I go out and I am. So I kind of just went with where I felt I would fall the majority of the time, but it just could be where my mindset is right now versus where it ends up being later down the road. Who knows?
Yeah.
Where are you? Where's your number?
First, you got to guess.
I'm going to guess 22.
I landed at 22?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit high.
Yep, I'm going to stick with it. I know it's high.
Oh, you know, actually, it says here on the sample that celebrities get, on average, almost 3 points higher than the average person.
Huh. That makes sense.
Yeah, U.S. celebrities, 17.8. U.S. adults, 15.3.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. Anyways, my score is 26.
Oh, wow. That's higher than I thought. Okay.
Which is only 4 points below Trisha Paytas.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me in on those red bars. Where do you fall on the whole category spectrum?
So, authority, I had all of them but one.
Oh, very cool.
Self-sufficiency, I'm right in the middle of the road. Because honestly, I think that one of my least narcissistic traits that I actually don't like about myself is that I feel like I'm very, I'm less capable when I have others who aren't watching me. Like when I'm alone, I'm less capable.
I get
that. If that makes sense.
I feel like
just the watching eye of others makes me better.
That makes sense.
Superiority was my max.
Very cool. Very Very cool. That's the highest one for me also.
Yeah, I got every single one. Exhibitionism, I have all but one.
That was my second highest
one. I'm not wildly surprised by my score. I shouldn't say that I'm super surprised, because I'm not. I actually was like listening to their podcast, and I was like, I feel like I should take this because I'm afraid that I would actually get a decently high score. I just thought that ours would be closer.
You know what I genuinely want to know is if I took it again right now, would I get the same score or not? Because knowing myself, there might be something that if I look back at it and read it again and feel something else, it might change.
I think that it depends on what mood I'm at to decide, like, whether I want to be noticed by the people or stuff like that. But I think at my core, I like looking at, like, what is my, like, true intent. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I just feel like I have narcissistic tendencies mm-hmm. that have made it so that I've been able to get by.
Yeah,
you know?
I get that.
I don't know.
I get
you. So, just really interesting.
And
I was like, man.
Vanity and entitlement, where are you?
Yeah. So vanity, I was pretty high. Entitlement, I was right in the middle.
Wait, so vanity, that would mean that you do like looking at yourself in the mirror and stuff like that?
I actually look at myself in the mirror more than I would like to admit.
Oh, very cool. Well, I mean, you have to, because you have to, the entire time you're shaving your head, you have to be looking in the mirror.
True that, dog. Yeah, I do look at myself in the mirror. Well, no, you actually don't. I can do it in the shower. I just choose to do it in the mirror. Goes faster that way. I know you're supposed to do it in the shower because it's like two birds, one stone sort of thing, but yeah, I just do it separate. Anyways, yeah. Man, that's so interesting. I am a narcissist. It turns out I just think I'm better than everyone else.
Yep, there it is.
All thinking it.
There's one thing that I was surprised how often I said the other two. Every time it was like, I'm a great leader and I prefer to be the leader, I realized I was very often the opposite on that. Of like, I like the idea of being a lead role, but I don't like the idea of the concept of having, yeah. Because, I mean, typically, if I was in a friend group, I would like to be the youngest in the friend group. I like being the one that's, because that's just how I've always done it, is just the youngest, the one that seems like they have the least control over the entire situation. Like, I like my voice being heard, but I don't like feeling like the entire thing, if a decision needs to be made, falls in the end down on my shoulders.
That is so interesting. Wow. What a weird turn for this podcast. I hope you don't mind we took this turn. But maybe as a real point of advice, you can go and take this test and learn something about yourself and get a little introspective.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay, so just type in narcissism test or NPI, because this is called the Narcissistic Personality Inventory. It is a real survey that it is very accredited. Actually, now that I'm looking at it, one of the doctors that was on the podcast, it seems, was the creator of the survey, it seems. So a very good, accurate survey. It doesn't take very long. You can learn something about yourself, do it with your friends, make fun of each other for being narcissists, or just complete spineless brain deads for getting really low scores. Somebody got a 2.
Heck yeah.
On the podcast. Somebody got a 2.
I don't like the way I look. I don't like being a leader. I don't want to be successful. The one
Daddy
and like,
do everything for
the
me.
One, and the one thing, actually, I would love it if the one thing that they got that put them at 2, or the two things that they got that put them at 2 is like, I like looking at myself in the mirror and I like my body and that's it. And like, just the only
all
thing,
vanity.
It's like, I don't want anything but a mirror. That's it.
I don't want anything but this mug.
I live in a room full of mirrors because the only thing that makes me happy is being in my mirror room.
But you can decide everything else for me. Zane, I'm going to do something very different.
Yep.
Give me the middle stuff.
I was going to do something. You know what? I'm going to throw it right back at you, and I'm going to do something wildly different, too. Should we end the episode?
Whoa. Should we?
I know that we started talking a little late. We started talking a little late in, but from where I'm editing, it looks like there's enough time has passed
40 minutes in.
That it
yeah,
makes
totally.
Sense. And, I mean, it might not be a 40-minute episode for them, but, like, we've got 40 minutes worth of audio, and...
Let's ask them. What do you think?
Yeah, go ahead. Take your time. We'll wait.
Okay, sounds like one more question. Let's do it. Okay, I have a question for you, Zane.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, fantastic. Dear Zane and Will, my kid wants to send one letter to Santa this year for the entire family. Since when she's asked about her dad and I's letter to Santa in the past, we failed to present evidence of us sending in said letter. Is now the time to tell her that Santa isn't real?
No,
or
no.
Or do I just keep smiling,
no.
Lying my pants off, and write something that I'll eventually buy myself?
Yes.
She is 9.
Yes, you keep it going.
She's 9.
I don't care. I don't care. I was heartbroken when the facade was broken for me at like 15.
No.
Yeah.
You were not 15.
You know what? I'm going to tell you a very, very sad story.
Did I have to tell you that Santa wasn't real?
No, I'm just going to tell you something. I think my mom told me when I was a whatever age, but I went directly into denial. Like, she's saying that so that it doesn't hurt my feelings when I get presents that I didn't ask for or something like that.
Oh.
And then.
Were you actually 15, though?
When I was 15 or 16. And I, because the tradition for me is always, this is going to sound weird, we stay at my grandma's house, but there's no bed for me at the grandma's house, so I would sleep on the bathroom floor because it's like a very cushiony floor.
What?
Yeah. So I'd
sleep, bathroom?
Because it's a very cushiony floor. Her bathroom is like carpeted and very nice, and I mean, I say very nice, it's a very old grandma house, but still. It's very cushiony, and I'd sleep because
bathroom floor.
Because I wouldn't be able to sleep anyway, because I would wake up at like 2 a.m, eager to open presents, waiting for everyone else. I would sit on her heater in her kitchen and just wait for everybody else to wake up, because I had to wake up for people to wake up before we could open any presents. And then, this is why it got me. I was either 15 or 16. It's always, you can't look through these double doors where the presents are, but there's always this excitement feeling of when I open the door, seeing the present pile. And we opened it and literally nothing was there.
Oh,
literally. And I mean, no gifts. And I looked, I was confused, and I looked at my mom, and she was like, oh, because we opened your gifts, at home. Remember? And I said, oh, I thought those were just the gifts from family. And it was this very confusing moment in my life where...
Okay. No. Pause.
Uh-huh.
This is a very, very important thing.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I said 15 or 16.
You're joking.
No, because I didn't want it to be true.
That's incredible. I've never heard of somebody being that old and finally having to be heartbroken by the idea of Santa not being
real. So the thing is, like I said before, I had been told about Santa, but I didn't want to believe it. But that was the moment that it was like a kick of like, I'm not allowed to even live in a fake world of believing it anymore. And you know what's worse is from that Christmas on, my Christmases have been wild. And by wild, I mean upsettingly not great. Because,
oh, no.
'Cause think about it. So there's that one, the one where I have to come to terms with there's no presents. That means, uh-oh, Santa didn't hit this house. Okay, great. And then I get Christmas.
Okay, ready? What would you rather have? No presents or all coal?
I would rather have all coal, honestly.
You. You just suck.
I would put it all in a fire and eat good food. So... That's that Christmas. Then there was a Christmas where I had scabies, and because of scabies, you have to stay away from people for like a week while that gets taken care of. Turns out for me, that was Christmas week. So I stayed home and sat in a basement covered in stuff to like get rid of scabies. And then the following Christmas, I'm getting teeth work done. And then, no, it was, yeah, sorry. Then there was the following Christmas where I was both getting teeth work done, but I also was supposedly about to like lose my eye. I was in a hospital getting like steroids for my eye so that I would stop being inflamed while also getting my teeth fixed. And then there's this one where, thanks to not being able to travel because of all the travel situations, like then
Zane.
You're I'm just going to be spending it in a little tiny Boston apartment. It's kind of like, what's the word? Not humbling, but like the thing of like where it does feel good to realize how good I've had it. It's weird to live in the moments where it's not as nice, but at the same time, it's going to be comforting when it's no longer like that.
Wow. I think that for the sake of Zane, my required answer is going to be never kill the magic, because you might really, really kill the magic.
Yeah. So I need to follow up by saying, when I said don't tell her, I should have been clearer. Never tell her. When people at school say you still believe in Santa, you come back home and you say those kids are idiots. They got kicked off the list because they're entitled sons of guns. You're the only one that's still on Santa's list. He only comes to this house.
Yeah, that and a whole other litany of conspiracy theories that probably go along with it would be applicable there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't kill the Christmas spirit.
Don't even think about maiming it. Don't even think about strangling it or hitting it. Don't do anything to that Christmas spirit.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Well, that's our show.
Oh, good that this isn't the Christmas episode yet. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness it's only Wreaths Eve Eve. Right? That's it? That's correct, right?
Christmas Eve, the Eve of Eve, Wreaths Day.
Wreath and Wreaths Eve.
Wreaths Eve. Yes, it's the Eve of
Wreaths
Eve.
So we're just on Wreaths Eve. Wait,
It's the 20th. It's the Eve of Wreaths Eve.
Well, Santa, hey, does that wreath look tilted? Like it isn't straight with the others?
Do you mean tilted as in like off kilter, or tilted as in tipsy?
Like it doesn't line up with the painting, doesn't it?
I feel like we've made a grave mistake in our wreath hanging abilities this year. We took it for granted, didn't we? Putting them all up. We were like, we're too good. And because we hung up the wreaths before we took the narcissism test, and that was our biggest fault.
So many nail holes. My name is Will Palumbo.
My name is Zane Shaw.
This has been Save Your Bacon, the advice comedy podcast where we think we're helping, although that's only what I say in the intro, so just ignore that, I guess. Take it easy, guys. Buy my wreaths. I'll set up an Etsy. And if it's easy, take it twice.